If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, this episode of 10 Questions, Dennis Quaid, a man who has nearly 100 IMDb credits. We talked about the three separate Tom Hanks movies that he passed on, being on set in the locker room of Any Given Sunday during the Pacino speech, playing golf with Lawrence Taylor and Jim Brown, and a very charming Lindsay Lohan story to finish things off. He was great. He brought it. Movie star, Dennis Quaid, right now.
This podcast is scheduled for 10 questions. Fighting out of New York, standing at 5 feet 11 inches tall, and wearing the red, white, and blue trunks, presenting Kyle Brandt.
Thank you, Bruce Buffer. You're the man. What a beautiful voice and what a beautiful audience. Thank you for everybody for listening to 10 questions, where we don't just have a conversation. We have a competition. Everybody leaves here with a score. There are exactly 10 questions worth 1 point each. All of them are somehow related to the contestant. If they know them, they get the point. If they don't, they get nothing. There's a happy sound and there's a sad sound. I wonder how many of the happy sounds we'll hear today. Before we get today's contestant in here, before we get today's multi-hyphenate global superstar in here, I want this gentleman to have a little bit of context of some prior contestants, maybe some people he's heard of, and how they have fared out of 10 points.
Hello, I'm Brett Favre, and I got 7 out of 10.
I'm Rob Gronkowski.
And I'm Camille Kostick.
And we got a 6 out of 10.
I'm Tim Robbins, and I got 7 out of 10. Just saying.
We got some 8s, some 7s, some 6s, some football superstars, and some actors. And today, we have a gentleman who was once a veterinarian's assistant. A gentleman who is on record that he loves watermelon. A gentleman who has starred in 3 films nominated for Best Picture, and a badass who has a kick-ass rock band who is coming to a town near you this fall. He does it all, including a 12-city jaunt, blowing the doors off of venues. It is my pleasure to say hello, Dennis Quaid, and welcome to 10 Questions.
It's going.
It's going great, man. Are you ready for this? You know what you're in for?
I am ready for some football or anything else you want to throw at me.
My man, that's how I know how you go at life, and that's how you're going to go at this. Now, Dennis, 10 questions, they're going to seem a little weird, but my promise to you as a host is they will have something to do with you and your career. Don't worry, they do. And in case you are totally flummoxed or lost, you do have one lifeline. Our lifeline here on 10 questions is called Ask a Millennial. We have a real breathing millennial standing by to come in the room and help you out should you choose to call on him. Does that sound good?
Sounds perfect.
Let's go. Dennis Quaid's about to kick ass right here like he has for years and years and like he does on stage with his band. Question number one for Dennis Quaid. Dennis, your category is sitcoms. Sitcoms. Okay. Question number one. What rapper was the star of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Will Smith.
He says Will Smith, and he says it quickly and assertively. Is he right? Yes, sir. 1-1. And Dennis, you're probably thinking, why the hell is he asking me about that? Well, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you went to Bel-Air High School in Bel-Air, Texas back in the day. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
All right. So, Dennis, I'm looking at you, and you've done so many of your own stunts. You've done so many fight scenes, such a physicality and a jocularity. Tell me that when you were roaming the halls of Bel Air High School, that you were a jock.
No.
No?
No.
You didn't play sports?
No, only in the movies.
How come? You weren't drawn to them at all?
I went to audition for the baseball team and they, you know, and the football team, I mean, and that's kind of a rite of passage in Texas. And I was too small. That's how I wound up in the drama room.
You know, I'm thinking it's Texas, it's back in the day, and you could have done baseball, tennis, anything. You were drawn to the theater. That's how it works.
That's where I wound up. Yeah, I was a little league. I was a pitcher, a first baseman. But I was on the cross country team in junior high school. I had a good pair of hands as a receiver, but I wasn't material at that time for high school. We had one of the top 10 teams in the nation too.
Did the theater have anything to do with getting girls at all? Was that it was just your passion?
That was a good byproduct of it because they were closer than, you know, just over on the sidelines.
Right. So it's basically, yeah, sure, that guy can throw the deep out on the football field, but I can perform the Tempest, my dear. Would you like to go to homecoming?
Yeah. But then I wound up playing a lot of athletes, you know, later in life.
Well, we'll get into that because you've just been awesome at it. You know, I grew up playing sports. My son plays sports. We've seen so many of your movies. And this is a sport we're playing right now, a sport of which you are one for one. You got 1 point. Your second question, your category is Spanish 101. Did you take Spanish 101 at Bel Air High School? Okay, we got a thumbs up. Can we go 2 for 2? Here's your question, Dennis. What is the Spanish word for Sunday?
Sunday would be Domingo.
Sunday would be Domingo, he says so confidently. Is it Sabado or did he get it right? Is it Domingo?
Might it was.
Dennis, there's a chatter amongst this 10-question staff. We've never had a 10 out of 10, that you might have 10 out of 10 power.
I think you would have featured that in your opening. The champion would have spoken.
Maybe in the next episode, we'll play Dennis Quaid saying, I got a 10 out of 10. Let's find out. Why am I asking you the Spanish word for Sunday?
It'll cost you, but okay.
We're a little early. We're getting a little big for our britches. Late 90s, I was playing college football, and all of my teammates and I went to the theater to go see Any Given Sunday. Everyone did it. You didn't miss it. We were enthralled by it. We left wanting to hit the gym and hit our opponents. What was that shoot like for you?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was Oliver Stone. Yep. And I was really surprised. Not one injury on that, on the entire time, even the guy who did the helicopter, which is pretty amazing. But I think it really captured the visceral experience down on the field. Of football, closer than anything else, I think.
Yeah, you felt the hits. You really did. And I'm just wondering, when I'm watching it back now, all right, so the guys on this set, Pacino, LL Cool J, Jamie Foxx, Jim Brown, Lawrence Taylor, James Woods. Was it like a locker room? Was it competitive? Were the egos just banging into each other?
With a few people, yeah. You know, you've heard of the infamous Jamie Foxx, LL Cool J fight that happened. I just missed it myself, so I can't recount it. But what I remember about that was that every morning, because Oliver Stone didn't show up for work until maybe about 11 o'clock noon, and every morning at sunrise, it would be myself, James Woods, Lawrence Taylor, and Jim Brown playing golf before work.
Who was the best
defensive player and the greatest offensive player of football? You know, against me and Jimmy.
But from what I've heard, that you were at one point flirting with a scratch handicap. So they might, I don't care how many sacks LT had, you probably cleaned his clock.
That was a 0.6. Never quite made it.
Oh, that's awesome. So are you guys having action between holes and everything like that? Are you laying down bets on the tee box?
It got really heated sometimes. And then Jim Brown and I would play chess in the afternoon. So.
Oh, that's so cool. So I think about you. You know,
Jim Brown.
Yeah, I've gotten to meet him a few times too. Total gentleman when you meet him. And obviously a crazy career. On the same token, you know, Dennis, you're coming up as an actor in the 70s and the 80s. Al Pacino was looked at as this god back then. He's coming off The Godfather. I still, to this day, every once in a while, will watch the locker room speech you know, the inch by inch, play by play. Do you remember that day on set? What was it like?
I do. It was, I remember him doing it about 90 times, actually, because, you know, it was, I had to get everybody's reaction. And it was just, you know, every time it was riveting. I mean, Al is an incredible actor.
As many scenes as you've done in any movies you've done, you're still sitting there watching just as riveted as you were the first time on a movie set. It was like real theater.
The audience member, that's for sure, watching that. Yeah.
Even the cutaways of you can tell you're riveted. I mean, it's like, I don't know if it's acting or if it just seems really authentic, because you can almost see the goosebumps. It's an awesome, awesome moment. I watch it all the time.
Yeah, I think I would have played that in every locker room before.
I know. I think they still do to this day. Well, on the topic of inch by inch, we're going to question three, and Dennis Quaid is 2 for 2.
This is going to be about the metric system.
No, you're going to like this one. This is going to be your favorite one. The metric system will come later. This is called Finish This Lyric. Dennis, I'm going to play for you a song. I'm pretty sure you've heard it. You're going to hear the song. You're going to hear the lyricist. It's going to stop. And then when it stops, you just have to finish the line. You're a front man. If you know the song, I'm sure you can handle it. Are you ready?
I am ready. As long as this is Louis.
All right. Let's see. Let's see if his intuition is right. Dennis Quaid, finish this lyric.
Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get
on the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again.
He did it! Did it! Dennis Quaid is on fire. He is 3 for 3 with the Willie. Dennis, I know you're a Willie Nelson guy. You got this band. It's coming out. Everybody, go see Dennis Quaid. DennisQuaidIsHere.com. A 12-city jaunt. What is the show like, Dennis? People have seen so many of your movies. What's your live show like on stage?
Well, I have been with the band for the last 20 years out on the road with them. But this one is going to be just me.
How's that feel?
It's kind of scary. I mean, you get stage fright, which was really good. It's like stage fright is unfocused energy, which will be cool. Being a guitar and a piano, you know, doing songs that have influenced me in my life. I'll be doing some Jerry Lee and, you know, Johnny Cash and some Van Morrison and people who've been influenced me. And then I have originals too.
So it's a total mix, because do you do like Great Balls of Fire?
Yes, be doing Great Balls of Fire.
I'm wondering, Dennis, about your stage presence. I've not seen your show, and if I want to come see it, do you have a little Willie? Are you Mick? Are you Jerry Lee? Are you Kanye? Who are you up there? What does it look like?
It's all about making people get up, have a good time, and it's a good time. Yeah. I want everybody to have a good time.
Uh-huh.
Messing with the audience. And we'll get as crazy as it takes.
It's crazy. Whatever the audience wants, you're prepared to deliver.
That's right.
12 cities on stage. You just heard it. Plays originals. He plays classics. DennisQuaidIsHere.com. Better natural high, Dennis. You're in a scene with a great actor in the middle of a monologue that you're just nailing, or you're on stage playing that guitar and singing the chorus.
Oh, I say the music thing, because it's very immediate. The other place, you just have, you know, beer belly electricians looking at you. And you always have take two. You always have take two, right? So,
yeah, you're pouring your heart out, and the guy holding the boom mic is sitting there checking his phone with one hand, like while you're really going for it. It's not the concert. That's awesome, man. 3 for 3. This is we're moving right along. Question number 4, Dennis Quaid. Your category is Final Frontier. Now, I know you built up some confidence here. It's been very well deserved. You've gotten all 3 right. But can you tell me, Dennis Quaid, what does NASA stand for? NASA.
It's the National Aeronautic Space Agency.
He says the National Aeronautic Space Agency. Is that correct? Right. You are right on it, man. NASA is the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
Administration.
I'm sorry. And I know you wanted it and you were dancing with it.
I was close, but you're right.
Can we, on the topic of space, will you please indulge me? Can we please talk some inner space? adore the film. I've showed it to my kids. My wife loves it. You're back in the 80s. There's a script where, Dennis, we're going to miniaturize you and we're going to insert you into Martin Short's bloodstream. And it's going to be a hell of a time. And you read that, you say, I'm in?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was a little bitty capsule for the entire time. I had a mic, had a speaker in my ear and a microphone so I could talk to Marty while he was doing the scene. It was an easy job. It was great.
See, that's funny. It's an easy job because you got to just sit around and talk to him over and over. It wasn't a ton of scenes outside of that. Did you have fun making it, or was it a pain in the ass because you're all cooped up?
Yeah, that was a blast. Marty and I would, you know, in between shots, would sit in the trailers and riff. He's very funny, very intelligent human being.
Sweet guy too, right? I mean, people love Martin Short.
Yeah.
So you've said before, and which I respect, you've said, I've made so many films at this point that if they're on TV or something, I don't stop and watch them just because there's been so much work. Is there a scale in that, like when you're more likely to watch? Because everybody stops on Interspace. It's been on TV for years. If Interspace comes on, you put the remote down and you're like, God damn, I love this movie. Would you stop and watch Interspace?
Yeah, I stop and watch a little bit of it if it's there. Yeah. It's a couple of the movies, the right stuff, whatever. It's funny how, like, I look at my movies and I have no memory of making particular scenes. I just remember the time I had when I was making them.
Like, I remember the first time I ever saw you in any movie ever was Enemy Mine. And I probably saw it and I was a little too young and it freaked me out, but it made an impression on me. I thought it was a badass movie and the two of you guys, right? I mean, would you stop and watch that?
Wow. Lou Gossett was doing a Lou Gossett impression. Yeah,
that is really good.
Yeah, you have to like gargle and talk at the same time.
would you and Lou Gossett sit around like you and Marty Short and like shoot the shit between scenes?
he had 6 hours of makeup every day.
Yeah.
So it was tough for him.
See, here's the problem with the goddamn Zoom connection. I don't know if you're doing a killer Lou Gossett impression or if your thing is starting to buffer. That's how good it was.
Oh,
that's great. That's great. We're doing Enemy Mine 2 all 35 some years later. All right, Dennis, you are kicking ass. You are 3 out of 4 as we meet the halfway part. Everybody go to DennisQuaidIsHere.com because this tour is going to blow the doors off, like I said. Question number 5, Dennis. Your category is desserts. A traditional British baked pudding is known as spotted what?
Spotted.
British baked pudding. It's spotted what? It's a dessert. And you do have the lifeline if you feel like a millennial might know this.
Something like that, but it's spotted.
Spotted.
Say spotted quail.
Spotted quail. Is there a British dessert known as spotted quail? Unfortunately, it's not right. And I think you're going to know this. The dessert is called spotted dick.
Oh, no.
Ever had it?
No. Never had that ailment. No.
It does. It sounds like you go to the urologist with a bad case of it. Why am I asking you about that? Why in God's name? Because I have a great affection for Dick Vermeil. Love the man, watched him for years, the legendary coach of the Eagles, then the Rams. You played Dick Vermeil in American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story. I know Kurt a little bit. We worked together. We're colleagues at the NFL. And I texted him before he said, oh, yeah, I got to meet Dennis on set. He was so cool, total pro. You've done a lot of sports movies. This one feels different. What was it like?
It was a really great experience being there. Kurt was on the set every day, and he's such a, I don't think the guy has changed, you know, he still retains his humility, and he's a great family man. What a story. I mean, it's the story of stories, isn't it? And he was stocking shelves at a grocery store at the beginning of the season, and then he winds up winning the Super Bowl. I mean, who does that? Mm-hmm. It's just an amazing story. And I played Dick Vermeil, who was his coach at the time. And just so happens that one of my best friends and golf buddies, Greg Kinnear, played Dick Vermeil too in the Mark Wahlberg movie. And so I like to say that I'm playing Greg Kinnear playing Dick Vermeil. Because we would do Dick Vermeil while we were playing golf. It was fun.
So you and Kinnear are out in some beautiful golf course. You're making the turn and you're just doing Vermeil content.
Vermeil content.
That's awesome. Because that, Dennis, like from a fan's perspective, he got to play this sort of young, hungry, eager Eagles Vermeil. And you got the later in life, like Dick Vermeil is known for a lot of things. One of them though, is being very emotional.
Yes. It became more emotional as time went by. I think the older Vermeil is more interesting, actually.
I think so, too. I mean, we all remember as sports fans when Trent Green blows his knee out and Vermeil makes that speech. And I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know if it's in it, but he has the press conference and says, we will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
Do you just jump into the Dick Vermeil voice? Like, do you have a persona that you do?
It's funny. I can't just jump into him because he's some people, you know, like the killer, Jerry Lee, you can, and a couple other characters, you can. But Dave Vermeil is a little different because you got to be in that place, that mental place.
So what if instead of Dick Vermeil saying we would rally around Kurt Warner, it was Jerry Lee Lewis? How would that sound?
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
What if it was Lou Gossett Jr. from Enemy Mine? What if it was Wyatt Earp?
Well, I don't know about Wyatt Earp, but Doc Holliday said we would rally around Kurt Warner. Yes.
It's good. Quaid's great. I can't wait to see the movie. I know you're going to kill it. I know there'll be an emotional scene and you'll be all over it. You are 3 out of 5 here as we make our own turn as we go to question number 6. All right, Dennis, your sixth category is rivalries. This is multiple choice, so you got good odds here. You once described your competition with Kevin Costner as what? A, healthy, B, unspoken, or C, respectful? Healthy, unspoken, respectful.
I would say unspoken.
Quaid says unspoken. Does he know his own quote? 10 questions, gods. Is it unspoken with Kevin Costner? Yeah, it is. Why'd you pick that?
Because I couldn't remember.
You just guessed. We have all kinds of news, Dennis. You just got to 4 out of 6, which means you passed Steve Smith Sr. for the lowest score of all time. You got a 3 out of 10. You will not have the lowest score. Let's settle something right now. There's a lot of debates. I work in the sports world about the king of the sports movie. And Costner gets a lot of love. Dennis, you have been at least 14 sports movies. You've got this movie, The Hill. You've got The Underdog. 14. You played quarterbacks. You played surfers. Played all of it. Can we settle this now? Are you the king of the sports movie?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Why?
Maybe the emperor of sports.
A malevolent emperor.
A lot of different sports, too, as well. Baseball and football, golf, track and field, cycling.
More diverse than Costner, who just rolls out with a baseball movie every 5 minutes and, you know, has a sappy scene.
A cycling movie. He did a cycling movie, a couple of baseball movies, really incredible baseball movies.
Oh, great movies. I think maybe we can settle on this. Costner definitely has some home runs. He's great. He's got some home runs. I think Quaid has more hits and doubles. Like, I see him maybe as the Hank Aaron. I think you're the Pete Rose.
Okay.
Fair?
I'll go with that. Yeah.
I think it's great. And with the gambling too. I mean, it's fine. So I think we're talking to the king. As long as we're on the topic of Costner rivalries, whatnot, there's so many amazing accomplished peers that over the years come and go in movies and other movies. I'm going to throw out a name and just, does it resonate with you as friend, competition? What comes to mind? We talked Costner, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, fellow pilot.
Hmm. On that same topic, John Travolta.
Travolta's a fellow pilot.
Do you compete for roles with those guys still? Did you years ago?
I have no idea. I used to have an idea, but you don't have an idea anymore. Because I guess you get older, the roles become more diverse or whatever. I don't know, to tell you the truth. Everybody's got to get their own self-perpetuating thing going on now.
Oh, for sure. Well, the self-perpetuating, how about this name? Clooney.
Clooney. Great guy. Smart, funny guy.
Yeah. I'll give you one more pilot. Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. I'm his little brother.
How come?
Because people accuse me of being Harrison Ford a lot.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Amused or take offense?
Oh, well, I'm definitely amused. he's a great person.
Agreed. I think that you are the king. I just want that on record. I think you are the hit king, and the movies just keep on coming. If there's a sports movie with Dennis Quaid, it's going to kick ass. In the meantime, we're going to question 7. You are 4 out of 6. We only have 4 questions left. All remember, right. Everybody, Dennis Quaid, go to DennisQuaidIsHere.com to see him rock like he is doing at 10 questions right now. Your category for question 7, Dennis, let's pile up the score here. Let's start making birdies down the back 9. Your category is pro wrestling. Your question, what late pro wrestler's real name is Randy Poffo?
Randy who?
Randy Poffo, P-O-F-F-O. That's his real name. I'm looking for the wrestler's name. A late iconic professional wrestler was Randy Poffo was his real name. And you have the lifeline if you want it.
I think his first name is Randy.
Okay. What do you think? Do you think a millennial would know?
No, I don't think a millennial would know.
What do those people know about anything anyway?
this millennial happens to be Google.
No, it's not, unfortunately. Who's Randy Poffo? What wrestler is that?
Poffo.
Poffo. P-O-F-F-O. I guarantee you've heard of this guy.
I know I've heard of
him. Yeah, you know him. He's a legend.
Yeah.
Might have even met him. Everybody listening at home is screaming at their phone. How do you not know Randy Poffo?
Right there.
It is.
Right there.
You can give me an answer. You can punt. You can go lifeline or
I'm
just...
Gonna, I'm going to punt for this.
Okay, he punts. I cannot accept that. Dennis Quaid, Randy Poffo, better known as Randy the Macho Man Savage.
Okay. Missed.
Remember Randy Savage, the Macho Man, Slim Jim commercials and all that?
Missed.
We talked a lot about when you grew up in Bel Air High and everything. Dennis, everybody knows. Your brother Randy is a really well-known actor. That's why I asked for Randy. Beloved characters, Cousin Eddie, Independence Day and everything. And yet I look, you guys grew up with the sons of a realtor and an electrician. Mm-hmm. How did that come to be that you have these two like wonderful, brilliant actors in one house?
Oh, my dad was a frustrated actor. And my third cousin happens to be Gene Autry. So.
Oh, man. Is that true?
In the blood a little bit. Yeah. I met him finally at the Wyatt Earp premiere, in fact. And I got free Angels tickets.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So you met him at the premiere of Wyatt Earp all those years later. You never got to meet him as a kid. He never played guitar or anything like that for you.
He was out there in Hollywood land. I was in Houston.
Right. So you think that there was that creative blood in your household for you and your brother and your dad, was he auditioning and things? Like, what did he want to do?
My dad was an electrician, but he was a frustrated actor.
Meaning, he wanted to
really
do it?
Know how to do it. He just thought, you know, you get discovered doing that.
Oh, right. Did your dad get to see your success? Did he pass?
Yeah. Came to all my sets, basically.
That's awesome. That's really cool. There's an urban myth that floats around in the sports world about your brother, Randy, that this is really strange, that he could eat an apple in one bite. Have you heard this?
Seen it.
What does that mean?
That means he keeps the doctor away, I guess.
Take me through this. What have you seen eating an apple? I don't even know how that's physically possible.
Well, you mean like one bite and swallow? No. Talking about putting the whole apple in your mouth and eating it? Yes, that sounds like something he would do.
Really? This is as kids? Or you would do this growing up? Because people are saying, does this really happen? It's online right now.
Well, I'm sure it's been done by him. I mean, you really kind of have to practice in private.
Yeah, right?
You got to deliver if you say you're going to do it.
That's going to be category 10. Can Dennis Quaid eat an apple? No, we're not going to do it. We're at 4 out of 7 with 3 questions left. Question number 8. You're going to love this one, Dennis. This is Name the Theme. We're going to play something for you. It's a television theme. Intro music, whatnot. All you have to do is say the name of the television show that corresponds with this theme, and you get another point. Here we go. Name the Theme.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm.
Say it again, Dennis Quaid.
Dukes of Hazzard.
It is over. Dukes of Hazzard. That is absolutely right. Bo, Luke, and of course, Daisy. The legend goes, Dennis, that you were in the final running to be one of the Duke boys back in the day. Is that true?
I was actually offered.
Offered?
Offered.
And you turned it down.
And I have a kind of a dim memory whether it was Bo or Luke Duke, but yes, I did turn it down.
Why'd you turn it down?
Because the director of Breaking Away told me to turn it down, that he thought I had a career in movies. I regretted it ever since.
So you don't remember if it was Bo or Luke, but do you think about the sliding doors factor, if you had taken that, where you would be today?
Yeah, I have from time to time, and then I go on to something else.
Indulge me, kind of a stock actor question. You said no to Dukes of Hazzard. What else came to you in front of you, and you said, I'm going to pass, and it came on to be something big or really beloved or successful?
The movie Big.
In the Hanks role?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Tell me.
A League of Their Own.
Also Tom Hanks.
Yes. Are you getting a theme here?
Yeah, there was this one movie. There was a great script about this FedEx guy who crashed on an island and he was just there with a volleyball. Did you pass on that too?
No. Sleepless in Seattle, yes.
All right, so Sleepless in Seattle, League of Their Own, and Big. The Big one, just indulge me with that. The Big is kind of a really original, sort of strange script. Do you remember why you passed on it?
I think I did some other movie.
Uh-huh. You don't remember which?
I remember nowadays. So, I think I did The Big Easy, actually.
Okay.
Which worked out for me. And at the time also, there were, along with Big, there was, I think, one or two other movies that had the very same story. Mm.
And then is it A League of Their Own? Did you think it was just more sports and you didn't want to do that, or you just didn't like the script, or what?
No, that was just like a stupid mistake of mine.
So then you see the movie and it's huge and it's Hanks and Madonna and it's a big movie. Do you kick yourself? Are you pissed, or are you just moving on?
I went down to the supermarket and bought 10 pounds of crow.
Did you? That's the ritual.
You can only do that for so long.
Are there ones, not that you didn't, that you passed on, but that you just didn't get? Maybe when you were younger and you auditioned and then it became
to be something. Oh, yeah, of course.
Are there any that were really bitter that you went on to be very successful or really loved?
About bitter, I mean, you can't hang out in that bitter place because mm-hmm. it won't be any good mm-hmm. for things down the road. Oh, I was Urban Cowboy, I was going to be the Urban Cowboy, the John Travolta.
Right, sure. And what happened?
Houston. In fact, I even read with Deborah Winger for it. You know, I already had the role. But then John Travolta decided he wanted to do it, you know, coming off of
the Saturday Night Fever
dance movie he did, you know
Saturday Night Fever.
And that was it. It was Paramount. And so that was it.
It's just, it's so ruthless, isn't it? You must have been this young, ambitious actor, and then you get this call, sorry, you're out, kid. How do you handle that?
Well, that's what being an actor is. You just like, you know, have your immense capacity for rejection.
Yeah. God damn. Would have been nice to be in Big, though, man.
I'll for you.
Yeah. I think you would have been great in it too. You're 5 out of 8, and we have 2 questions left, Dennis. We're going to build on that topic a little bit right there. You were just talking about, you got to have thick skin, the journey of an actor. You're doing it now. You've been playing live for 20 years. The fall tour is coming out. Your 9th category is
leading these segues into the questions.
Yeah, I'm trying. You know, you got to have thick skin. Awards. Back in 2003, you had come out with a film called Far From Heaven. You had a lot of juice about it. People thought the performance was incredible. It was a lot of Oscar buzz. You did not get a nomination. Here's your question. At the 2003 Oscars, who won for Best Supporting Actor?
That's really good. That's excellent.
What do you think?
I was in the same room with them, too. Trying to scan the room.
Let me jog your memory. So, other nominees who did not win, same category, Ed Harris for The Hours, yes. Paul Newman, Road to Perdition,
yeah.
John C. Reilly in Chicago, and Christopher Walken in Catch Me If You Can, but they did not win. Do you remember who won?
It was 2003, right?
Yep, 2003 Oscars.
It wasn't Jack Palance.
Nope, not Jack Palance for City Slickers.
Or Palance.
Jack Palance, one-arm push-ups. This was going to be your Oscar. And I remember this movie, and I was rooting for you. The performance was incredible, and this guy took it.
Let's see.
Want to ask the millennial?
Millennial doesn't know.
Those millennials love movies. They love award shows. They all live in L.A., who knows? You can take a flyer, or you can just say, screw it, go back to looking at your phone. I thought you would have said this immediately, because...
That's illumination. Does the millennial... Laura, does the millennial know?
This is the Laura lifeline. Laura, that's fine. George Kittle asked his mom.
Chris Cooper.
Chris Cooper, is that your answer? Did that come from you or did it come from Laura?
Laura says Chris Cooper.
By way of Laura through Dennis, was it Chris Cooper? Yes! Laura! Wow. All right!
Wow. Way to go.
Chris Cooper won the Oscar for adaptation. He won.
That tells you how much disappointed I was I didn't get nominated, doesn't it?
Well... Or does it? Listen, I read some quotes from you after that, Dennis.
It really means nothing at all. Says
you're
the guy.
So full of shit. I don't believe you on this one. I think you put your heart and soul into that performance. It was a great role. You crushed it. You didn't even get bleeping nominated. And you said that you were devastated afterwards. Do you remember that?
Yeah, because we all went to this Newsweek was doing this whole issue on the Oscars. And they got all of the Friday before the nominations were coming out. They got who they thought was going to be nominated in the same room to do an interview.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, like a jerk, I went to it and then I wasn't nominated. I was the only one in that room that wasn't.
Do you remember, like, did you wake up early in the morning and find out when the nominations came out? Do you remember the moment you found out you weren't nominated?
No, my agent called.
And they just say, nope, didn't happen?
No, he said, oh, congratulations. Oh, you were coming.
I got good news, Quaid. You got stiffed. Went with Paul Newman.
Whatever.
There's this thing, though. Look, I know that you're at peace and you're happy, and God bless you. You've been through enough years, but there's still the competitive part. Dan Marino wanted a Super Bowl, and he's universally respected. He never got it. You still want that Oscar? I must.
Want that Super Bowl.
Super Bowl too.
No, of course not, says the guy who never been nominated.
Listen, I think you're going to get it.
Of course. Yes, of course.
You have the speech plan and everything?
As long as I didn't have to do the whole like junket that they do. I mean, it's like nonstop for 2 months. Also, people who win Oscars, their careers seem to go like that for a while.
It does get kind of weird. The choices afterwards are really dissected and they're all over them. You once said, and I found this kind of heartbreaking, but I get it. You once said, the only real joy I got out of acting is when I'm on set. All the rest of it is a circus. Mm-hmm. Why?
Because that's the only joy you get out of it is actually doing it. Mm-hmm. After that, it's, you know, it's edited. It's not yours anymore. And, you know, it's reviewers or whatever. And really the only kind of like real joy you can ever expect is while you're doing it. Like, mm-hmm. for instance, your show. I mean, the best time you have is when you're doing it. And everything else is just like, there's nothing real about anything else.
Yeah. Plus you gotta do all this media and you got people asking you about Chris Cooper and Spotted Dick. And it's just a total pain in the ass. All right, Dennis, last question.
Actually a pretty good time. This was worth doing American Underdog. Okay.
Oh, hell yes. 6 out of 9. You just passed Kirk Cousins, the starting quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. 6 out of 9. Last question.
I'm trying to get close to Brett Favre.
Okay. Favre was good. Favre, they called him.
Something about Mary. That's the way his name was pronounced.
Yeah.
Brett Favre.
You know what, Dennis, when he was on the show, I asked him, I'm like, how the hell did you get F-A-V-R-E into Favre? And he said they have some Native American ancestry and they were all on peyote back in the day. And that's how it came out. That was his honest answer.
Okay.
Favre still got it.
But okay.
All right. Tennis, question number 10 is always an essay question. What does that mean? I have found a take or an opinion or a stance that you have taken or an expressed. I'm going to present it to you. And then the floor is yours to take 5 seconds or 5 minutes, whatever you want, to explain it to me why you believe that. If I'm compelled and convinced, you get the point and you get a 7 out of 10. If I'm not, you don't, and you get a 6 out of 10. Here's your essay, Dennis Quaid.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
You said that your experience on the film The Parent Trap, you said that Lindsay Lohan was a savant, a pure talent who actually had you convinced that there were two of them. The floor is yours to back up that stance and explain why. Go ahead.
Well, she would be wearing the same outfit, you know, her wardrobe every day. She's the most talented. I think she was 11 when I met her in her screen test. And she's probably the most talented 11-year-old I've ever met. And it just rolled off her naturally. Like she was not even working and she had never been to England. And she comes out with this English accent that is like, you know, what part of London she's from, and not just, you know, England, it's just a part of London she's from. And then she's got this like regular kid and it just got to be, I really thought there were two of them. In fact, we did a scene where they had one of those, they split the floor with the camera so that they could shoot it with one and they'll put the other one in there and they're perfectly matched. And that's how they did it. It was so good. And I didn't know if it was Hallie or Annie. That was not me acting. Are you Hallie? Are you Annie? I didn't.
She was that magic that she made Dennis Quaid's head spin. It's a beautiful story. God bless Lindsay Lohan and God bless Dennis Quaid. You get the point. You finish with a 7 out of 10, which, by the way, Dennis, ties Brett Favre. You tied the man. How do you feel?
I think that he and I need a playoff.
Ah, here we go. Yeah, he's good in the playoffs. He's good.
Yeah, but I'm the emperor of sports movies, as you've agreed upon. So, all right.
You're goddamn right. 7 out of 10 from the emperor of sports movies and a hell of a guy, a hell of a rock and roll star, too. One more time, DennisQuaidIsHere.com. The first gig is October 30th. It's him jamming, guitar, piano, covers, originals. Go check this man out. Dennis, the last thing I need from you before I wish you a wonderful day, every single person ends 10 questions by calling out someone to come into the arena and trying to challenge their score, trying to beat your 7 out of 10. What public figure would you like to look into the camera and call out to come in here and compete with your 7?
Well, we've already said that. Brett Favre. Yeah.
You want to go mano a mano with Brett Favre.
Well, he can do it on his home turf.
Talk to him.
Where is it? Alabama or?
I think it's Mississippi.
Johnson, where he's at. Come on out here, Brett. Come on, we'll put on our bracelets that, you know, keep our body in motion and everything. You can bring anything you want. Keep those hips going, that arm going, whatever. I'll put mine around my mouth.
Bring all the copper bracelets you want, Favre.
Yeah, you bring it on, man. I'm the copper king.
The emperor of sports movies and the copper king is Dennis Quaid. He is an awesome, awesome dude. Dennis, this was so fun. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 7 out of 10 is nothing to sneeze at. Thank you for doing it. I hope you had a blast like I did. We will see everybody next time on 10 questions.
All the audience, I'm coming to your town. Come and see me. Look on Instagram or look anywhere for me to show up in your town. You're guaranteed a good time. And I still hold my money back guarantee if you don't have a good time.
The man says he does whatever the audience wants. Go out and see him. Go see a concert. Go see Dennis Quaid live. It will kick ass. Money back guarantee. And he's never done it because everybody has a good time. Dennis, you're the man. Thank you so much.
See you later. I had a really great time.
This episode of 10 Questions was produced by Arjuna Ramgopal, Steve Allman, and Richie Bozek.